Welcome to the Turning Point Church podcast. We pray that this message takes root in your heart and bears fruit in your life. For additional messages and other resources, you can visit us at www.tpoint.church.
Praise the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever, even endures me. Amen. Praise God. It is a lot of thoughts and emotions that go through us in different ways, but they all are of great value to us to know that we have such memories to be able to look back and record testimonies, whether it be on that wall there or in our own memory or in our conversations, to be able to recount what God has done in this place. And, you know, the Lord taught me years ago how to look at and value the earth. You know, the Bible says that the earth and the fullness thereof is God's. There's only so much earth. There's not any new earth being created. It's not getting any larger. There's only so much ground. And when we are privileged to be blessed by God, to be able to have stewardship of any part of that limited earth, amen, that He would give us stewardship over any part of that earth, and we look at it that way. Amen. Praise God. I must tell you, though, just on a different subject here, because this may be my last opportunity to tell you a story in this building about the couple that, you know, Benjamin and Angela adopted this wiry little girl. Oh, my goodness, what a darling she is, and what a great big sister she has. But what a testimony that took place while here in this place. Amen. Prayers that went up here for you to adopt beautiful Isla. No telling what God is going to do to that young lady. But there was a couple that traveled in the circus, and they wanted to adopt a child, and they went to an adoption agency, and of course they asked them all kind of questions. And they were concerned because they were traveling in the circus, you know. Well, what kind of home life is this child going to have? And they said, we live very clean and wholesome lives, and we have a 55-foot motor home that's beautiful, and it's even got a designated nursery room in it, and it's all fixed out. And then we've hired a tutor that can teach them all of the aspects of education, even how to run a computer and everything that would do to schooling. Then we also have a nanny that when we're working, that's going to help raise the, you know, and take care of the child and so forth, and just went on with all these. And the adoption agent was just really impressed and just really feeling good about this. And finally just said, well, how old of a child, you know, are you talking about? He said, well, I don't know that that really matters. It's just so that they can fit in the canon. It's sinking in. Yeah, it's going. Now, Isla might go for that. She'd go for that. Amen. The responsibility of this morning for me felt a lot like it did when I was seeking the Lord for the very first sermon when we planted this church, and because I felt like that it would set some type of precedence and course for us as a church, and establish us upon a direction and a foundation upon which we would build. And, you know, our first service was held in the Middle Tennessee Association of Realtors building that we rented and just for Sunday mornings and on Sundays. And I would go over in the parking lot and went over in the parking lot of that place because we really could not even get in till Sunday morning to set up. And in praying about what message, the Lord was very clear to me and gave me clear direction on that. He said, well, why do you think people are coming? Why do you think people would come in the door of a church they haven't been to before? What would bring them there? And it was obvious that most likely it's hope. They hope that this is where they will find the church, where they will find the presence of God, where they will find the love of God, where they will find true Christianity, where they will find ministry that will strengthen them, that will heal their marriages, save their children, give them wisdom, and give them the abundant life that, and lead them into that abundant life that Jesus has intended for them, has died to give them, would heal their broken hearts, their bruises, recover them, and they would know God better than ever before. This is what they hope. And I still believe that holds true today. Amen. Amen. I believe that those of us in this room today, you come in here because there's hope. And even every Sunday, there's hope. There's hope. And but I knew the gravity of that. And my position has changed in recent years here. My responsibility has also shifted somewhat in that. And so to have this opportunity to speak to you today, I know that it's been really just working me for many days, certain things that God would drop into my heart. And I realized that what the Lord was doing. Anytime that God took his people in a transition from one place to another, he prepared them for it. And he gave them, you know, it's not just our success and our fulfillment in life is not really about the place we live. It's about how we live in the place. And so this is not about the place we're going to, but it's how we will live there. And so what God does, he prepares them. Even when they were leaving Egypt, he prepared them to leave Egypt. And he had them, that's where, you know, he had them sacrifice the lamb, and he ate the lamb. They ate the lamb of sacrifice, and they put the blood on the doorpost of their homes, and they stood dressed and ready with their shoes on and their staff in their hand, ready to go and ready to move and transition from here to a better place. And they didn't know when it was going to happen, but it could happen quickly. And my, hasn't our happening happened quickly? But if we would not have been ready, Pastor, we could not have done it in 30 days. But we've been preparing for this, praise God. And so we had our staff in hand. We've been ready and ready to go. Praise God. Amen. And aren't you glad that it's happened? Praise the Lord. Amen. When they were going to cross from the wilderness over into the promised land and cross the Jordan, and Moses spent quite a lot of expounding to them the instructions that God gave them. He gave them a picture of the blessings that were before them. In Deuteronomy 28, he said, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord and do his commands, these blessings will come and overtake you Amen. And he goes on to expound those blessings that would be theirs if they would heed the voice of the Lord and do his commands. And but also, he also with that gave them the rules for living there, so to speak. In other words, here is, and we don't realize it because we think of rules as limitations, but rules are wisdom. Rules are as a result of wisdom. They are the expression of wisdom. When you make rules for your kids, it's the expression, the way that wisdom expresses. Amen? You don't run out into the street and play in the traffic. That seems like a kid to a rule, but to those who are wiser, no, that's wisdom. And so I stand before you this morning as one who is like that elder of Moses and a Joshua, and we've talked about that sometimes, that of giving that expanse of exposure to you, not just of that there's a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, there's a great place you're going to, and that's all we focus on, but we have to realize that the place will not give you the life. You will take the life into the place. And that it's this life that has the godly boundaries. And if you live within those boundaries, you will have the glory of the presence of God, because God will not live outside those boundaries nor give you his presence outside of those boundaries. So if you want to live in what brought you here, then you must understand what will take you from here. Y'all with me this morning? And so I'm going to give you an acronym here that the Lord gave me for FORWARD, the word FORWARD, because, and you've mentioned it already this morning, because there is a forward progression of this church, praise God. In other words, that implies, that we are not moving backwards, first of all. We're moving to some place that we haven't been before. The first word for F would be faith. The second, repentance. In other words, before they crossed Jordan, they sanctified themselves. Before they did that, before they left Egypt, they repented. They sanctified. They applied the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the next one is worship. It involves worship. You must worship the Lord. There must be a worship relationship with him. The next one is attendance. You have to be present. Risk. It takes risk. The life we live and to go forward takes risk. Don't tell me it didn't take some risk when they were at the Red Sea and God says go forward and Moses stretches his hand up. It took risk. Or when they're going to cross over Jordan, and they know that there's enemies just waiting on the other side for them to go into what is supposed to be your territory, but right now the enemy holds the ground, and you've got to go in and take it. It takes risk. It takes some risk for us to do this. Discipline. We are to be disciples, aren't we? We're to live a disciplined life. We cannot be loose about God and loose with his word and loose with our lives and expect to go forward. Faith, obedience, repentance, worship, attendance, risk, and discipline. Luke 12:48 says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more." of whom much is given, much is required. We have a pastor friend of ours that said, you know, he said, I look at that the other way too. To whom much is required, much is given. And that is the truth. So we're being given more than we've had before. And God said, when we're faithful over little, he'll make us ruler over much. Amen. So this tells me that God has accounted what we've done here as faithful. Praise God for that. Amen. It's good to find out you've been faithful, because one of the evidence that God trusts you with more. But as you go forth, the requirement over there is going to be greater than the requirement here. Are you ready for that? Sometimes you ask God for things and you say, wait a minute, what did I ask for? You know, it's like my brother, I think I told this before, when my brother got married, there's a young man, there's a young man from a restaurant across the street from where our family business was, and he would bring a menu to the restaurant over every day for daily specials. And he and my brother would kind of jive a little bit every day and kid around with each other. And my brother told him when he brought the menu over, he said, I'm about to get married this weekend. He said, oh, really? He said, well, you know, that marriage is, it's a funny thing. He said, you get up there and the preacher says, do you? And you said, I do. And then you get to thinking, what did I do? Pastor Nathan, you may be thinking, wait a minute, what did we do? Amen. So expect it. To whom much is given, much is required. But remember, you've been given much. Amen. I'd rather be given much. I'd rather be trusted with more. I'd rather be in that kind of relationship with the Lord. Amen. This new church is a new beginning. It's not an end. And one of the dangers that I've seen, and I've lived long enough to see a few things, and I've lived long enough to see some churches make this mistake, pastors make this mistake, and I want to caution you that often when we have striven for so long to achieve a goal such as a new facility, and we're going to do some work over there, we'll do some updating and things of that nature, but we can get to where that almost treat it like it's an end, and we're in a dangerous position when we do that. We are in a dangerous position to be tempted by the enemy when we do that, when we become slack. Because the Bible says that people without a vision perish. When we get over there, we've got to catch new vision. We've got to have an expanded vision. We can't say that was our vision and now our vision's done. Praise God, we have a new vision. Amen? We go from glory to glory. Praise God. It's not the love of that house that is going to be the key to our success, but it's going to be the love in the house that matters. We'll only get out of something what we put into it. Amen? It's going to be about relationships, because those we love, this is why it's about relationship, not loving the building, but loving the people in the building. It's because those we love can decide to love back. Those we give to can decide to give back. We can love that building, but that building can't decide to do nothing. That building can't decide to love us back or decide to give us anything but maintenance. Broken things, worn out things. There's I hate to call them points, but important things that we need to know leaving and going to, when that will help us in succeeding over there of what we believe that why we needed that building. We didn't need just more room. What do we need the room for? What are we going to do with that room? Just say we got more room? No. We see spiritual value, the first souls to happen in that place, do we not? The first one is, and I encourage you to take notes today, because this is as much a teaching as it is a preaching. And I believe that some of these things you need to weigh more carefully individually as they may. And let's be honest with examination of ourselves as we go through this. Stragglers or strugglers? That's the first one. Stragglers or strugglers? I found out that people who are stragglers in the church always seem to have more struggles in their life. They're always playing catch up. They're lagging behind. They're slow to learn and obey. Oftentimes they're sin sick, so their lives are weak. They are stragglers. Now, God knows what can happen to stragglers. He reminded them in Deuteronomy 25, 17, and 18 about Amalek. He said, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt? How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, for he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God has given thee rest from all thy enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, an inheritance to possess it, thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, and thou shalt not forget it." Now, you'll see other versions that instead of those that were hindmost, it says the word straggler. Those that were stragglers behind. Well, what happened was the Amalekites would come. They didn't pick on the strong ones. They picked on the ones that were straggling and staying apart from the group. That were not staying up with the group, staying close to the group. They would come and pick them off, and it didn't matter what age they were. Children, adults, feeble, old, whatever. But if they would come and pick on the stragglers. That spirit of Amalek is still in the world today, trying to pick off the stragglers in the church. I say to you, church, let us have no stragglers. Don't be straggling. Don't stay away from the group. Stay with their group. Stay up with their group. Amen. Don't be spiritually straggling. Those that are spiritually straggling are those that can be actually be present in this building right now, but your mind and your heart are not with God. Oh, you're with the group. They were counted with the group, but they were just, their mind was somewhere else. Their heart was somewhere else. It's just not where it should be. And so the thing to do to keep from being a straggler is obedience. Amen. You obey. Resistance to the devil is built into obedience. It is inherent in obedience itself. I'll prove it to you by the word. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen? So you can be a straggler in your heart. Your body may be present, but your heart is far from here. The Lord said that they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can be in here singing the songs, but your heart is straggling. Another thing that stragglers do, they affect the service. Because they're not showing up. That's my second one. Show up. Show up. Everybody say, show up. Say it again. Show up. Not show off. Show up. Show up. If you show up when you Only when you are assigned something and on a schedule, that's shallow Christianity. Spiritually shallow. Because if you were spiritually deeper, nothing could keep you from the house of God. Y'all not going to love me after this message, I can tell you. Psalms 27:4, David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, one thing, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." All the day. He wished he could be there every day. And you're struggling to be here one day out of the week. You understand the difference of a man who's after God's own heart rather than a position? Psalm 65:4, blessed is to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in the temple. Psalm 65:4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. You know, if you only show up when you're on assignment, whether it be children's ministry or nursery or platform or ushers or greeters or whatever, and after a while people notice. We notice that we don't see you until the next time you're on. And just have to be truthful with yourself. Then what is your motive for being here? You see, we can do better than that in the next building, and that's going to be required of us in the next building. We've got to adjust and find out, God, why am I here? Am I doing this as under the Lord, or am I doing it under myself because I'm serving some purpose for me, or I kind of feel that it looks like I'm some kind of part, but really I'm far apart from God. What do you think the Lord would expect of you? People used to say to me when I was pastor years ago, well, I'd be there every service too if I was getting paid for it. And I said, well, the reason I get paid for it today is because I was there every service when I wasn't getting paid for it. I wouldn't be preaching this way to y'all if I didn't think you could take it. This is a mature message this morning. We're going to a place that's going to require much more. You ushers, it's a bigger place. You security people, it's going to be more places to look after. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, what we must realize is that these words are spirit and they are life. Somebody say, well, where's the spirit this morning writing those words? Hebrews 10:23-25. It's funny because you were addressing this some, this pastor, this morning. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Colossians 3:22-24, servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service, what as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, amen, and not unto men. This is not about so men can see you, so people can see you. Amen. This is about doing it unto the Lord. If there was only one person out there, praise God, you're doing it unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord. Amen. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Romans 13:11-13, and that knowing the time, how many of you know the time we're in here right now? If we're in a critical time in this world? Certainly we are. that now it is high time. Folks, that means there must have been a low time. We've got a high time right now to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Jesus is coming soon, folks. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and enmity. Let's be ready and let's be working when He comes. Amen. Let's be serving when He comes. Hallelujah. He's done everything for us. He went through the misery. He went through the sweat, the toil. He went through the pain, all for His love for us. We will go through whatever we need to because of our love for Him. We will push through hard times, and we will do the hard thing, and we will get up when it's hard. We'll drive to church when it's hard. We'll get on the platform when it's hard. We'll work with the children when it's hard. It isn't about whether it's hard or easy. It's because that we are servants of the Lord. Amen. He's worth it to us. What do I bring to the house? All players in a football game are to be present whether they're assigned to play on the field that day or not. But there's more than that. I don't know but if you know about this, but in Texas A&M, they have what they call the 12th man. It's the crowd. And the 12th man is one of the most important players in the game. They're the one who influences the momentum of the game. Hallelujah. So you may not be on the platform. You may not be in the nursery. You may not be in children's ministry. You may not be an usher. You may not be. You just may be in the grandstands, praise God. But I'm going to tell you, your voice here, your actions here serve to give momentum to the move of God in this house. And you are an encourager to those that are on the field. You have a responsibility to be an encourager. Let us go into that place to be encouragers of the work of God and encourage the pastor, encourage the singers, encourage the work of the ministry. Let's bring encouragement to that place. Let's believe in our purpose. Let's believe we can win. Let's believe God can score big in here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody on the bench and in the stands, it's just as important in their role as the one who's got the ball on the field. Oh, sambalaha kondalalaria. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody could be praying in the spirit out here underneath their breath while the pastor's preaching. Oh, glory. Glory. There's an anointing in this house this morning, church. Will you do your part? Will you do your part? Will you go over there and do your part? Or are you going to go? You know, you're not going to go over there and rest. You're going to go over there and work. You're going to work like you never worked before. You're going to serve like you never served before. We're going to make something happen at that place. We're going to see something of glory like we've always wanted. And we said, God, if you'll just give us this, we'll do this. We're going to go over there and prove it there. We're going to prove it by our interaction with God. Hallelujah. We haven't seen the fullness of His glory yet. Praise you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Listen, if you don't show up, you hinder the service without you knowing it. You know why? Because it's the responsibility of the pastor to notice the sheep that are missing. And He will notice. Don't you notice, Pastor? Not as a pastor, I noticed. The other sheep noticed too. Now you've just taken our thoughts and you've just taken our mind to wondering where you're at when we should be focused on preaching the word and singing praises, but we're looking out here, wondering where are you at? You're having an effect on that service through your absence, and you thought it didn't matter. You do matter. Your presence does matter. You hear me, church? Your presence matters. One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. In other words, when there's more of us, there's an exponential power that resonates in our place. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me this morning? You ain't turned off by me yet? You're just glad I'm retired, right? The third one is generational pride and put downs. We can't take this there with us. What we do need to take is a generational honor. And I see it so often. I see generation against generation. I see pride in each generation critical of the other generation because that something's done differently. Your ideas may be new or different, but if you have to put someone else's down to elevate yours, then it's not a better idea, it's just another ideal. Your ideals should elevate on their own merits. Don't smirk at the generations of it's going to be over to the Lord, Terry. It'll come back to bite you. You see, the glory of God was carried on the shoulders. They shouldered the glory. We stand on the shoulders of those who came before us that carried the glory, carried the anointing, carried the burden of the work. To go where God said to go and to labor. You see, I look out here and, of course, I see Pastor Nathan who was with us from the beginning. I see Leah and my wife and our daughter Noelle and our son Jonathan who's in Japan. I'd show you him, be glad to right now, but that's not possible. But our first drummer, Leah, Pastor Nathan, we started a youth group, I think the second week of the church. We said, why wait till we wait get young people? Let's start and they'll come. They did. Leah was instrumental in starting our first young adult thing, and they all worked in it. But they called it TNT, 20s and 30s. Went on for years. She was our worship leader and put together our first worship teams and put together a recording that we did, a live recording. Wrote and co-wrote with you. Y'all wrote co-wrote many songs together and that we sang around here. My wife did ladies' meetings. And we did, when I know that's one thing to do it when you're at your place right now and you can kind of take for granted what you got, but you have to remember we didn't have our own chairs. We didn't have our own hardly anything. We had our PA equipment from the road when we traveled in the evangelistic field. We didn't have our own bed. We couldn't even meet every week. We had our offices in our home. We did our worship practice in our home. We did our men's meeting in our home. We did our youth practices for their talent thing, and fine arts, do their routines in our living room. Every week it was like Grand Central Station in our home. You know, we had 18 people, with including our family, the first service. The next week we had 20-something, but yeah. When you got only 18 people or 20-something people, but you out there giving it your all with what you got, not because you got a budget. You don't even have enough to live on, and you're using your own finances and resources for months that nobody knows about. So for anybody to come in here and not at least give some consideration of the shoulders that you stand on that have gone before you, and then I look at others and I could start naming here, you know, Angela and Benjamin and moved here and whatever, and their work with us, and y'all worked out on the campus out here at MTSU. There's stuff in here that's been done that a lot of you don't know about, and I understand that. But this had to happen somehow. We came through a recession that hit us really hard financially as a young church, just in our yearling years. And we went through some really financial tough straits. When other churches fell by the wayside, but we're still here. It's because it took sacrifice and it took heart. And it took faith, and it took many prayers, and there are tear stains in these carpets here. I can assure you that you just don't even know how much has been cried on these carpets for the glory of God, for the work of the ministry. There's been music coffee shops nights out in the foyer. There's been a baptismal out on the parking lot and boy, did it come up a storm, and we all got baptized. But we'll never forget that night. I wouldn't trade those of us and praise God for anything, but I'm not going to live in them. I praise God for what's ahead of us, and praise God, the old has passed away. All things are become new. And yes, we do need to honor what has happened, but we're going to honor what's ahead of us, but we're going to go in with honor. Do you understand? We're going to honor what's before us and what's brought us here so we can honor where He's going to take us. Amen. The church we're going into over here, you know, that the original building there was built in, what, I think, 1897 or something? Okay, first building, 1902. Okay, this is pretty new. I thought it was an old building. No, the one part of it over there is their original sanctuary, but it's amazing the condition it's in. And I was thinking about that. There were no electric tools back then to build churches like that, like we have today. There are buildings that are standing and churches standing that have been standing for hundreds of years that weren't built by one power tool. They were built by patience and skill and endurance of those who had the faith and fortitude to fulfill and be obedient to something that God said to do. So the young generation, don't come in and think I got a better way, because frankly, you might have an easier way, but sometimes the easy way doesn't build character. When you have to be patient, I've used a hand drill when I was a young man in shop. I took shop in eighth grade. We didn't have electric drills. We had this kind of drill. It drilled this hole just as good as my electric one. It just took longer. But it taught me something. It taught me patience. It taught me skill. And I want to say to you, the older generation, God is doing something in this new generation. I think of an excitement and a faith, and I see an uninhibited worship happening in these young people, praise God, that we need to thank God for. And I know that the music is different, but let us honor both musics, the music that those who came before us, their faith sang, and let's honor the faith that is singing the music of the day. I believe we can have both, and I believe we need to honor what God is doing in this generation just as much as want to honor what He did in our previous generation. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all still with me? Still love me? Okay. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, it affect the length of your life, and that it may go well with you. If you want to go well with you, you do some honoring in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So we got to do it there. Everybody say, do it there. Do it there. Let's honor one another. Amen. No matter what our age is, no matter what our music preference is, no matter what it is, let's honor one another. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fourth thing is improve your response ability. But I want you to think about it. One of the keys to our work here and the move of God being released in this church, God's always moving, it's just whether we'll move with him or not, is the key is in our response ability. Let us bring our response ability to a higher degree. Let's be more responsive to the move of God than we've ever been before. Let's be more responsive in praise and worship. Let's be more responsive in altar calls. Let's be more responsive in faith. Let's be more responsive in making a little joyful noise unto the Lord. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay. Let's move the wind a little bit. You know, when I clap, I'm moving the wind a little bit. You know, I need to make some joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Improve your response ability. Be a better responder. Respond to God. Respond to the pastor when he exhorts you to do something. Amen? Respond. The fifth thing is no more neediness. Let me talk to you about neediness. Some people only know God through some needs, which causes them to call upon him. And when their needs are met, their interest in God drops off. They have a relationship only with his provider side. They don't have a relationship with him. If my child only wanted to come in my lap when they wanted something from me, I would be heartbroken. But when they set my lap just to be with me and close, now that's relationship. It's not about what my hands can provide. It's about what we have in love and relationship. Amen? Some people keep staying needy because that's the only way they can have a relationship with God. Otherwise, they will walk away until the next crisis comes. That's a trick of the devil. And it keeps you always looking at needs. And the only time you ever are around God is when you're needy. And you just stay in neediness. That's not the life Jesus died to give you. He didn't say, I've come that you might have life more needy. And more needy the abundantly needy. Amen? No. He said, I tell you the truth. I want you to be with me because I... He said, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. Yeah. He said in Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that kill the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. What is the Lord wanting with us? Come on, let me hold you. Come on, come on, come on, get up under my wings. That's what I want. That's all I wanted. I just wanted you close to me. Amen. Your sins had separated you. But I died for those. Come on. Come on. If you've got my love, you've got all of me. You got anything that I have. I'll meet your needs according to my riches and glory. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you've been in neediness and you just stay in neediness, determine, God, I'm not going to go over to that new place and live as a needy person. I'm going to live as a child of the King. Praise God. Every need is supplied, that I have the greatest need met in my life, and that's for a Savior called Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Number six, taste and see the Lord is good. We sang it in a song this morning. I saw so many confirmations this morning. Some are being fed in our church constantly, but they're never tasting. The revelation of Jesus is in the tasting, not the amount of the feeding. When I was, and I'm getting close to being through here. I know I've told this story before here, I believe, but probably a lot of you hadn't heard it. But when I was a kid, Mom and Daddy would take us to these miracle tent revivals in Waco. And they would often pitch these tents at a big lot that was by the local bread factory. And so you would smell the bread cooking, man, at night when they were having revival. That bread cooking, it was a killer, I want to tell you. It's hard to keep your concentration. But God could compete mightily because of all the miracles that were going on of healings and deliverances and things that I was seeing that was just miraculous. And so all these miracle healing lines were going on and whatever. Well, here come. I'm standing at the edge of the tent so I can see better. And I'm probably only about 8 or 9 years old. Here comes two kids coming over from the bread factory. And they got some big chunks of hot, fresh bread. I mean, it's steaming. Not sliced. They hadn't even sliced it. They just came. I said, where'd you get that? And they said, that man over at the bread company in that back door, he gave us some. I said, does he have any left? I don't know. I ran over there, man, and I got over there, and I said, would you have any bread left? I put on my saddest eyes.
Yeah, buddy.
Huh? Huh? Yeah. My tongue hanging out. I look like I've been, I shrunk myself, so I look undernourished. He said, I have one piece left. He can have it, and that's the last piece I can give away. Boy, it was good and hot. I didn't want to take a bite. I wanted to go over there. You talk about a great event. If I could watch miracles and eat hot bread at the same time, now that's living. You know, today I watch TV. I walked over there, and, man, I found my place by the tent, and I get myself set, and I'm watching that evangelist pray for those miracles and pray for that those people in line and whatever. And I have that one piece of bread there. And all of a sudden, just I'm about to take a bite. I don't know what happened. I must have been distracted there. And man, it dropped out of my hand and dropped in the dirt and the sawdust there. And I looked down, and it was just all so covered because the steam on it just attracted everything. And I had to pick it up, and there was no way I was going to eat it. It still hurts today. I never smell a bread factory that I don't think about that. But I can tell you, there's a lesson in it. Sometimes we're handed fresh bread, but we never got to taste it. We let it fall to the ground. The Bible says, for us to know how good the Lord is, we must taste Him. So what happens is that when the word is being preached, you need to take time to savor it. You know, when I was a young man, a teenager, I could gobble up food. I'd eat two big plates of helping, but I wasn't tasting. I was eating. I would just, amen? The taste would last about that long, but it was more about just eating a lot. Isn't that right, Aaron? And now, I'm just getting a witness. I don't know whether you do that or not, but I know you're, yeah. And it's sad because my mama had been in there cooking for hours. You think what you ladies and men today, anyway, I don't want to be discriminate here, but cook a Thanksgiving meal and people come in there and you've been cooking for hours. Maybe you started the day before and people come in there and in 10 minutes it's gone.
You think, wait a minute, didn't you take time to taste what I thought to cook for you and I measured it out? You don't even know what's in there. You need to stop. We're going to do Master Chef right here. I want you to take that taste and I want you to tell me what spices are in it. I want you to tell me what oils are in it. I want you to tell me what it's made of. I want you to savor every bite. I want you to do like they do on there, take that taste and then look up to the sky. We need to, the word taste there means to perceive. When we receive the Word of God, we need to take an effort to perceive the Word of God. We'll live like God. We'll just be handed hot bread that'll fall to the ground, and we'll never, and then we'll live like God ain't good. We'll live like He ain't good because we never tasted His goodness. Can you say amen to that this morning? Amen. This is the last thing. Everybody say, praise God's the last thing. No. Thank you. And you've already said, I thought you were going to take my sermon. I love it, though, how many things confirm the message. We take the glory and the presence with us. Because God's people always took the glory and presence with them in their transition. And Moses said in Exodus 33, and I know you're familiar with it, but let me read it, if you will. And God said to Moses, He said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And He said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And He said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me. Everybody say, there is a place by me. That's what God is saying to all of us. There is a place by me. God has a place for you by Him. He said, And thou shalt stand on a rock. Where is it? It's on the rock, Jesus Christ. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock. Jesus is going to hold us and surround us. So we can see the glory. He protects us, but gives us revelation at the same time. He said, And will cover thee with my hands while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. What he's saying is that if we're going to be separated, and that word separated means to be unique. Or to be distinguished. Church, if Turning Point Church is going to be distinguished from the world and even from religion, it will be His glory and presence that will do that. And that's what Moses realized. Lord, if we're going to be a distinguished people from that, we're not looked upon like we're just another group of people just starting a church. We're not just a religion, but that we have the living God as our God. People will only know it by the presence that they see of You with us.
We take it with us. You said it. That's the word. What are we going to take with us? Yeah, some of us take some of our aches and pains. Some of us will take some of our unanswered prayers. Some of us will take some of our heartaches. Some of us will take some things that we haven't seen God do yet. Yes, some of us will take some of our personal inner struggles. Some of us will take those things that we're still fighting battles over, but we're abiding. Yes, but over it all, we have the glory of God's mercy, the glory of His grace, the glory of His strength and power, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. And that we're going over there, hallelujah, not to have a church building, but to be the church. We're going over there to establish a place out of which righteousness can be revealed, out of which the presence and glory of God can be shown to the world around us, to where we can see the fulfillment of more of His promises, like that building is a fulfillment. We're going to see more fulfillment. Y'all believe that? Y'all believe we're going to see more of God? I know we are. I know we are. No stragglers show up. No pride. Greater response. No more neediness. We're going to taste and perceive the Lord, and we're going to carry the presence of the glory. Amen. I don't know what you expected this morning. But I think it's good for us to go in knowing the parameters of life that God has given us, that we not be going in without a plan. This is the way to live over there. And when we go in there to honor the Lord with all of our heart and to love Him with all of our heart, it's not about what color we put on the walls, and we'll put colors on the walls. It's not about how we decorate. That'll never make up for what you will go out of that door over there on Sunday mornings wishing would have happened inside your life. It will be Jesus that changes you. It will be the same Jesus that has touched you in here that you will need His touch over there. But I believe this morning it's time for everybody to take up and take a higher place and come up higher. Come up higher. Like you told John, come up higher. Come up higher. Come up higher. Y'all believe there's a higher place? Not just a larger place, but a higher place for us. Some of you have got the residence of God's anointing in you that has yet been realized, but it's time for that anointing to be realized. But it's good. You have to be attending. You have to be there. You have to show up. And if we will, if we'll follow after these things, we can make a difference. We can make a difference.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Turning Point Church. To stay connected, we invite you to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, we'd love for you to join us for a Sunday or midweek service. God bless you and have a wonderful week.